Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
It's nearly 2 months now since Ireland introduced legislation regulating the use of e-scooters, and our reporter Maura Fay has been looking at how these new regulations are being implemented and what they mean for the possible introduction of e-scooter rental schemes in Ireland in the near future. And Maura is here. Good morning, Maura.
Good morning.
So, can you remind us when the new regulations came in, firstly?
So these regulations came into effect on May 20th last, and they require e-scooter users to do things like obey a speed limit of 20 kilometres per hour, avoid using footpaths and carrying passengers. They also give Gardaí the power to issue fixed charge notices for contravening these regulations. Generally, it's a €50 fine. Gardaí can also seize e-scooters that don't meet the technical requirements in the legislation. For instance, an e-scooter must be no more than 25 kilograms in weight. I asked the Gardaí how many fixed charge notices have been issued and how many e-scooters have been seized since these regulations came into force. They say that as the legislation remains in its infancy, such analysis has not yet been compiled, but it will be available in due course. They also said that members of An Garda Síochána will adopt the approach of engage, explain, encourage, and as a final resort, enforce these new regulations as members of the public become aware of and adapt to the change in these regulations. I was out in Dublin City Centre yesterday morning, and I asked people there if they had noticed any changes in the behaviour of e-scooter users since the regulations were introduced.
Well, the ones on the pavement are. I love the idea. I love the idea of something new and transportable. And I like it that it is over 16s, I have to say. No, there's lots of young 16-year-olds very responsible, but keep off the pavements, please.
Well, I don't think so, because most of the experiences I've had with them, they don't know what they're doing. A lot of younger guys, they're not obeying traffic signals. They don't think things like that apply to them. And I've been hit by two.
And can I ask you, were you injured when you were hit by the scooters?
I was limping for about a day or so, but it did wear off after time. See, I was a motorcycle courier around Dublin 20 years ago for about 5 years, and I've seen it all, done it all. But these things are just a law to themselves. At the end of the day, you also see guys going around the city without helmets on motorcycles and scooters as well, and the guards won't bother because they won't chase them. You know what I mean? They won't give in to what these guys want. They want to chase. They want the excitement of a chase off the cops. So even with regulation, if the guards aren't going to enforce it, what's the point?
They just don't comply with the rules and regulations of the roads. They go to red lights. They don't look at other people. They absolute hazard. And I think they should be banned completely.
I think used safely, they're a great asset, especially because Dublin Transport has a lot of ongoing issues. I have lived elsewhere where they're much more like readily available, and they're a great asset to a city. I don't know if Dublin's quite ready for that yet, but I think they could be in a couple of years.
People in Dublin city centre yesterday, and we're already getting messages in on this, Maura. So we have a listener in Balbriggan who believes the new e-scooter legislation has made no difference to the use of them. I see just as many users on the footpath now, and some are also carrying passengers. Another texter tells us that they live in Galway and travel to Dublin by train 3 days a week. Every day I observe scooters on the footpath and on the roads with fitted seats carrying two people and driving in the middle of the road. While travelling into Galway one morning on a road with an 80 kilometre limit, I had to take emergency action as I entered the corner to find a scooter in the middle of the road going at 20 kilometres an hour with no lights and no helmet. 51551 for your messages. So Maura, Ireland has been an outlier in e-scooter regulations. So now that the regulations have been brought in, are we going to see the e-scooter rental schemes that you see in other places around Europe? Are we going to see those in cities and towns in Ireland now?
That's a question I put to Damien Young. He's the CEO of the only Irish e-scooter rental company called Zeus. His company operates e-scooter rental services in locations around the world like UK and Germany.
Now that the legislation is in place, we will probably start to see the e-rental schemes coming through the councils and local authorities over the next number of months. There is a lot of planning required by the councils. There will be tendering processes and so on. So I would anticipate that we would see e-rental schemes from the beginning of 2025.
What's your thoughts on the regulations as they currently stand?
There was a lot of changes in drafts over the last number of years. The final legislation only allows for e-scooters to be up to a maximum weight of 25 kilos. Now, that presents a little bit of a problem for the shared schemes, where traditionally the scooters will be, you know, 30 or more kilos. The reason for that is for safety reasons. They need to be more robust. They need to be safer for shared schemes. So it does present a little bit of an issue in terms of existing fleets that are out there, in that there will not be a legal vehicle in Ireland. So obviously, you know, companies like Zeus are looking at potential new forms of vehicles, new models that comply with the legislation.
Can you tell me about safety? What measures does your company take to ensure that e-scooter usage is safe?
Yeah, well, fundamentally, I mean, our company is... has a three-wheeled scooter. So we designed a three-wheeled scooter specifically with safety in mind. The three-wheeled scooter offers a lot more stability. It is a safer and more stable ride. But it also attracts, I suppose, a more kind of sensible group of users as well. So safety has been at the forefront of our design. Now, as a result of that, our track record in terms of safety is one of the best in Europe, and we have far fewer accidents than the general accidents in Europe for e-scooters. So safety is number one concern for us, and therefore, you know, carefully we need to manage it in terms of the weight restrictions in Ireland to ensure that we introduce a scooter that's suitably robust and safe within the legislation the requirements.
So that's Damien Young there. And we were saying those schemes have been around in Europe for the past 6 years or so, the e-scooter rental schemes. Are they working, and are they providing an alternative more to public transport?
It's a bit of a mixed bag. So Paris was the first European city in 2018 to have such a scheme. But as of September last year, it officially became the first city to ban rented electric scooters. The companies that operated schemes there have now moved towards offering e-bike rental schemes. Other cities around Europe have moved towards tighter regulations, such as requiring users to wear helmets or have legal liability insurance. I spoke to two Irish people living abroad who have used e-scooter rental schemes and asked them about their experience of using such schemes. First up is Eamon Doherty from Derry. He's currently living in Oxford in the UK, and he explained to me how he ended up using e-scooters as his main method of transport.
I started off just using them to get A to B, bit of crack, to be honest. They're a bit of novelty to begin with. And then I started, my car was banjaxed at one point. I started getting a bus into work. And for me to get down to the bus stop to where my work was, like, the public transport over here is quite good, like, but it would have took me, it would have taken me two buses to get to the bus stop alone, like, two buses and a 10-minute walk over a bridge. So I started hopping on the Voys, the e-scooters there in the mornings, get down to the bus. You'd have been Baltic during the winter, like, your hands would be freezing holding the trigger, but it cut a 45, 50-minute journey down to about 10. And then the more I sort of was using them to get to the bus, then the more I just started using them for other bits and pieces. So, like, now, you know, especially in Oxford. Oxford's a bit of a unique situation because they're trying their best to get all the cars out of the city, essentially. It's a bit controversial, like, but there's a lot of low-traffic neighbourhood schemes have been put in place, so all the rat runs have been bollarded. You can't drive, and it's pushed a lot of traffic onto the main roads. So to drive anywhere in Oxford now is an absolute nightmare. Like, I really only drive if I've to leave the city.
Oh, I love that Eamon is living in Oxford and still says, holding the trigger. Keep being Derry, Eamon. Keep doing it. You spoke to someone, though, Maura, who has a really negative experience of using one of these things.
Yes, that Kate McMahon, who's originally from Limerick. She's been living in Bristol for the past 9 years. She had a fall from a rented e-scooter in September in 2021. Now, she wants to emphasise that her accident wasn't the fault of the e-scooter rental company. She'd been using e-scooters for about a year, and she feels that the accident happened just through her own complacency and bad weather.
I was coming home one evening on one, and it had been kind of a bit of a wetter day, you know, bit of leaves on the ground, things like that. And basically, I went to go left on the e-scooter. My whole body went left and my right foot slipped off. And then I lost my balance and I went over on my right leg and I broke my leg and my knee as a result of it. So went to ambulance to hospital that day and was operated on the following week, had to get a bone graft and plates, pins and screws put into my leg. And then that was there for, that was September. So was doing kind of well on recovery. And then in November of 21, started to get pain again in the leg, started to go back onto my crutches and was contacting my GP, telling them I felt something wasn't right. They said they thought I had sciatica in my back and gave me exercises. And eventually it was through my physio, I got referred back to my surgeon and they x-rayed me again to find out that it had rebroken the metal inside. And so I had to wait until the following March to be reoperated on again. So it's definitely been a long road to recovery in terms of the accident that happens on it.
How would you feel now? Would you use an e-scooter again?
No, 100% no. No, I haven't been on one since. And like my mother back in Ireland has everyone like just basically warned off them. As I said, I was just there. I was like, if I went on one again and the same thing happened, because there'd be nothing to stopping it happen again. Like, you'd never forgive yourself, because this has been almost 2 years of my life now of trying to get back, being able to walk at a normal rate like somebody else. So definitely would not go on one again. And when I see people now who are going on them, you know, two people to one scooter or no helmets or like dipping in and out of traffic and going up onto footpaths and coming off of footpaths, I'm just like, you don't realise how bad it can go for you if something goes awry.
I was nearly convinced there earlier, you know, handy way to get around as long as you're safe. Kate's story, though, would put you off, wouldn't it?
It definitely would, yeah.
Lots of people still getting in touch, Maura, on this. A listener says, yesterday I saw two young girls sharing the same e-scooter, each of whom looked 13 or 14 years of age, no helmets being worn, and they were on the footpath. So that's illegal for two reasons, as far as I can see, isn't it?
Yes, you have to be over 16 and you're only limited to one passenger.
One person. Another one, just last evening I saw a 10 or 11-year-old whizzing along the footpath, no helmet, no high vis on, so no, the regulations are not working, says that listener. A kid under 16 hit my car as I was exiting it onto the road. He came out of nowhere, travelling at a high speed with no helmet, thousands of euro to repair my car, and I have to claim off my own insurance. I'd nearly go so far as to say you're lucky that that wasn't worse and that somebody wasn't seriously injured there. Maura, that's really interesting. Thank you very much for bringing that report. That's our reporter, Maura Fay.